You have your Bibles, you want to turn to Malachi. It's the last book in the Old Testament, just before Matthew. And I'll be reading from Malachi, the first chapter, beginning with verse 6 through 10 in just a moment. But I want to tell you before we start this morning that we have finished our church year. And as I look back over the past year of ministries and missions, I just want you to know that I feel blessed to be a part of this church. The contacts made by our care team, the prayers they've done, the visits completed, our contemporary and traditional worship services are joyful and worshipful. If we consider the baptisms this year, the new members, and the number of new people who become involved in the ministries of our church and on committees, it is all evidence of God at work. The Lord blessed us financially this year, because we were able to meet all of our ministry needs and our mission needs, and in addition to that, become debt-free. This is certainly a milestone for our church. In addition, this church has served nearly 1,200 meals to our community through our loaves and fishes, given thousands of dollars in benevolence to those in need, as well as assisting people in obtaining work, improving their finances, and helping with other life skill needs. Our mission teams and our mission projects have touched many lives. The giving beyond our goals for the Lottie Moon and Annie Armstrong offerings for missions are also significant, because they need our money and they need more missionaries to be on the field. The way that we volunteer and voluntarily give to our food pantry, and we give to the HCPMA in order that we might pay the utilities and things so people can have a place to go and get food when they are hungry. Our Sunday school reached a new high average for this year. We've had special events and focuses this year which have helped us grow spiritually. And there is so much more. The percentage giving to our missionaries was at an all-time high. This church has done a great deal in kingdom building this past year, and it is my pleasure and a blessing to be a part of this church. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's word from Malachi, the first chapter, beginning with verses 6 through 10. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have you despised my name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you who would shut the door so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. Nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the nation, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it, in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled, and its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifice the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among all the nations. May God his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. I think we can all tell from this reading that the Old Testament priests were dishonoring God because they were not giving their best to him. In fact, they were giving him the discards, what no one else wanted. They couldn't sell them. They didn't want to breed them. So they offered them to the Lord God of all creation. They had despised the name of the Lord God by offering such sacrifices on his altar. More offensive than giving the blind, lame, and discards to the Lord, they kept the healthy animals for themselves. Their approach was to give God what no one else wanted. Kindling a fire on God's altar would be in vain when worship was offered with that kind of attitude. God simply says, "I have no pleasure in you." He refused to accept an offering from the hands of those priests. So my thought in reading this passage of Scripture wonders how we can apply that to our lives. And since we are all priests in the New Testament concept, you're a royal priesthood. Do you think we can make that application to us today? We aren't concerned with offering animals as sacrifices on the altar anymore because we have been saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that once for all offering. We are not required to offer these sacrifices because of our Lord and Savior. But I would submit to you, the New Testament teaches us that we as Christians who live in this New Testament day, that we are supposed to be living sacrifices. Instead of livestock, Paul exhorts us to give ourselves. We find this in Romans 12:1. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." The living sacrifice is presenting what we have as an offering of worship to God. This living sacrifice that we are means our whole being, our money, must be given from a willing mind. 2 Corinthians 8:12 says, our time, a commodity more precious than money for many people today, and our energy and our effort. It's ironic that those that seem to have time abundant in supply often come up short in the energy department. And we find that everyone operates under certain restrictions. Just as we don't have unlimited money, we don't have unlimited time or strength. And we have to set boundaries for ourselves. Even though praising God for the work of God here at Cherry Point Baptist Church, I want to tell you, as happy as I am and as blessed as I feel, I want you to know we need more Christians involved in the work of the church. I've pondered the question many times, what can we do to get people more involved in church? And the key to involvement is motivation. More need to come to the understanding that we as Christians are living sacrifices. A church sign along a North Carolina highway declared that the main thing is to see that the main thing is the main thing. I think I know what that means. It means prioritize those things so that what's most important gets the attention it deserves. So I would say for me and for you and for those of us that lead in this church, the big challenge is mobilizing people to understand that the main thing is being a living sacrifice for a holy God. We need to ask ourselves, what is the attitude ruling our hearts as we reach the limit of what we're going to offer Christ? We're going to bring him as an offering of ourselves. Do we honestly say, I really wish I could do more, instead of that's all I'm going to do, or that's all I can done. I can do. I've done my share. Do we pray for the Lord to bless us with more money so we can use it in some needed way to advance the cause of Christ or to pay those bills that we made? Sometimes selfish prayers won't get answered, as we see in James 4:3 that says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. I want to ask us, do we really wish we could spend more time doing God's work? Or is it like some whose lives become so busy, the first thing they give up is their involvement at the church? Or when things get financially tight, the first thing they give up is their offering to God or not to give at all? Even those of us that are reaching retirement consider, well, I'm going to retire from God's work as well. Well, I want to tell you, if I followed that philosophy, I would not have been the pastor of this church for the last 5.5 years. Instead, maybe we ought to think about that we are retired from our regular jobs in order that we might be able to have more time to do more work for God and be a greater kingdom builder. I think sometimes we need to ask ourselves, do we pray for more strength and better health so we can better serve the Lord? Or maybe better health so we can enjoy our pleasures and our hobbies and do the things we want to do. We need to ascertain what the genuine desire of our heart is. For you see, Nehemiah 4:6 describes the people of Nehemiah's day building the walls of Jerusalem. Why? Because the Bible said that they had a mind to work. And that's the spirit that our church needs today. As we gain greater understanding of being a living sacrifice, we understand the need to be involved in the work of the church in community, doing it together for the glory of God. I think we need more workers, but the church also needs more eyes to see the value of serving Christ. Matthew 25:36-40 says, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to see me. And then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Serving others is serving Christ. If we continue reading in this particular passage of Scripture in Matthew, we see that the other side of the coin, in fact, failing to serve others is failing to serve Christ. Matthew 25:40-445 says, then they also will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. It's so easy for us to dismiss the great mountains of spiritual and physical need with the simple judgment, it just won't do any good. But I think we need to approach the Lord's work with the philosophy that we should do what we can and trust in God to make something happen. You remember the story in the New Testament where a woman used a little flask of oil to anoint the head of Jesus. Some criticized her for wasting that expensive oil, which could have been sold and the money used to support the poor. And Jesus rebuked her critics and condemned her and commended her by saying, she has done what she could. And I would say that let the same be said of us, that we did what we could, that we planted, we watered, we did whatever we could so that the gospel of Jesus Christ might come forth powerfully and that people might understand the wonderful good news that he has for every person. We need to learn the lesson of serving one another and also those in need. I think also the church needs more workers, and we also need to have more people who care genuinely in the name of Christ. But we also need our tongues tied in the church to keep us from hurtful words. It is so easy to destroy the church's initiative to what God is saying by the way we say things or what we say. It's easy for us to find things wrong and put others in their place. Things that are really wrong and sinful need to be opposed and rebuked. I believe in preaching the word. I believe that we should be ready in season and out of season, to convince, to rebuke, to exhort with long suffering and teaching. However many of our comments don't really need to be said. They turn us into discouragers instead of encouragers. Our aim is to be building up the church and each other in the church, not tearing it down or tearing someone else down, not correcting, rebuking in a harmful way. In Matthew, we find these words, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I will tell you, what we need to do is to be determined also if you're a victim of one of these offhand statements or criticism, We need to be determined to love fault finders and those who feel they are compelled by some right to correct, to criticize, or boss in spite of their faults. What the Bible says here is that I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spiritually persecute you and use you. My friends, don't allow Satan to get the upper hand on you by using harpers and complainers and mumblers and fault finders to keep you from giving the service to God that you need to give him. Because when it's all said and done, we need to keep serving Christ, for it is him and him alone that we want to please. I want to tell you that I say this today because of the sweet spirit in our church, not because I can point fingers or name people. And it's not even directed at me, for I have been treated in my family with great care and love. And I want this momentum to keep on going, and I don't want us to find ourselves being uppity and cratchety and crotchety so that we might impede the word of God and the work of God. I will tell you, the devil has used my tongue more than I would like to admit. And I know that I hear that passage of scripture in James 3:8. I hear these passages in Matthew that I memorize so that I can help myself to be uplifting and positive instead of corrective and abusive. It is not of God. And while I stand here today to be blessed to be part of all that God has done and is doing here at our church, I think more need to become involved in the blessings of God. More need to be conscious of the offering that we're giving to God as a holy, living sacrifice. More of us need to be more conscious of those around us who need Christ. So I pray this morning as we close this service that you would come and be one of those more people that will join Cherry Point Baptist Church in doing the work of the Lord. That you'll be more of those people who come and who want to present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. And I pray that as we think about the life of our church, we think about the ministries of our church, we think about the people of our church, we think about the people of our community who need to know more about Christ, who need to grow, who need to understand his love, that as we roll up our sleeves and as we think about the offerings that we're giving to a holy God, it may not be a blind fatted calf. It may not be a unspotted goat, but instead we would come to the altar of God and say, Lord, I come to you and I offer my life a living sacrifice. And whatever I can do more, help me, God, to make the main thing, the main thing, the main thing. And with the time that I have, the resources that I have, may I put the first fruits on this altar. May I not consider all the people that keep me from doing your work. May I not consider all the things that I don't like. May I not consider all the things that perturb me or make me not want to come. That, Father, I might see you, a holy God, and I would present myself a living sacrifice to you, to use my time and my talents, my gifts, and that I might learn anew that everything else in my life is a shadow compared to the glory of God. That it is here for just a time, except for the glory of God. And oh Lord, I pray that you would accept this offering for your glory, for your kingdom. And I pray that you would use it, God. Because I have found that when people and a church discover that idea of a living sacrifice, that we're truly here for the main thing, that our joy becomes full, Our lives become more joyful. The things around us in this earth grow strangely dim. And the things of God shine brightly through us. And we have that which God wants us to have, that abundant life. And this is what he's offering us today. As we sing that great hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. Number 534, you consider this morning, is my life a sacrifice? Am I a living sacrifice? If not, you come forward this morning. I'll pray with you, and you pray with me, and we'll ask God to bless you. If you'd like to join our church, we ask you to come forward and tell us you want to be a kingdom builder. Any other decision, let's stand and sing that great hymn. 534, Take My Life and Let It Be. Thank you.